All right, so we're diving into Joshua today, specifically the first chapter.
The first chapter, yeah.
Verses 1 through 9.
Okay.
You know, you've been going through Joshua, and this is kind of the beginning, right? This Israelites finally, like, getting to the promised land.
Yeah.
We've got some great stuff from Dr. David Howard to kind of help us unpack this.
Yeah.
So get ready for some pretty cool stuff about leadership, faith, even, like, you know, we're going to challenge some of the misconceptions about prosperity in the Bible.
Oh, yeah. That's a great one.
Right.
It really is. I think this passage is fascinating in how it sets everything up for everything that follows.
Yeah. And right. It's like the opening scene. You know,
exactly.
Setting the tone, introducing all the main themes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I thought was super interesting that Dr. Howard talked about was how the book is really about inheriting the land rather than conquering it.
Yeah.
So what do you make of that distinction?
Well, it's subtle, but it's so powerful because, like, inheriting something suggests a pre-existing right. It's like a gift that's already been bestowed.
Right.
And it's not about brute force or domination. It's about stepping into a role that's already destined for you.
That's interesting. Do you think that there are situations today where we see that kind of played out, where, like, people or even nations, you know,
absolutely
operate with a sense of entitlement?
Yeah.
Like, they've got a preordained right to something?
Yeah. I mean, all the time.
Without necessarily putting in the work.
Absolutely. I think you see it in families where, like, children expect to inherit wealth without having earned it.
Yeah.
Or in international relations where countries lay claim to certain territories.
Oh, yeah.
Based on historical precedents that may or may not be accurate.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
That's really fascinating.
And I think a lot of times that sense of entitlement leads to conflict and injustice.
It does, yeah.
Because it's not based on, you know, a true understanding of what's right and what's just...
Right. And I think that makes me wonder then, like, how does that concept of inheriting apply to the Israelites in this context?
Yeah,
because clearly,
absolutely,
they faced opposition. They had to fight for the land.
They did.
So how does that work?
Well, that's where the concept of promise comes in.
Okay.
You know, God had promised this land to their ancestors,
right?
And that promise was a driving force in their journey. And what's really interesting is in verses 2 and 3, God is giving the land, present tense,
okay,
but also says, I have given, past tense.
Interesting.
And the language there highlights this idea that from God's perspective, the promise is already a reality.
Oh, wow.
It's already a done deal.
Okay.
Yet from the Israelites' human perspective, they still have a role to play in experiencing it fully.
So it's like it's already been given.
Yeah.
But they have to kind of actively step into it.
Exactly. And that active stepping in requires faith and obedience.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Now, this promise isn't just like a little plot of land, right?
Yeah.
Verse 4, you know, lays out this huge territory.
Oh, it's north.
As far as the Euphrates River.
Right, which is way beyond anything that they ever actually occupied.
Way beyond.
Yeah.
So what do we make of that? Why promise so much if they're never actually going to, you know, possess it fully?
Well, it's a great question. And I think one way to think about it is that the scope of the promise represents the potential of God's blessing.
Okay.
It's like God saying, here's the vision. Here's the blueprint for what's possible if you walk in obedience and trust me.
So it's not just about, like, the physical boundaries.
No.
Right. It's about, like, the potential.
It's about the potential for growth, influence, abundance.
Yeah, yeah.
That comes with aligning yourself with God's plan.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think,
I mean, it's really a reminder that God's vision for us often extends far beyond what we can even imagine. And so even if we don't see the full realization of that vision in our lifetime, it's still a powerful motivator to keep striving.
Right.
Keep pushing forward in faith.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, speaking of pushing forward, right, God gives Joshua some pretty specific instructions in verses 5 through 9.
Yes, he does.
This repeated command. Be strong and courageous.
Be strong and courageous.
But there's not a lot of strategy here.
Yeah.
Right? God doesn't, like, lay out a step-by-step military plan for how to conquer every city.
Oh.
So what do we make of that?
Well, I think it emphasizes the idea that that the focus is on obedience to God.
Okay.
Not on human strengths or clever tactics. It's about trusting God.
Right. And I can only imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Being Joshua, being given this enormous responsibility with no roadmap.
Right.
How daunting that must felt.
Yeah, absolutely. And this idea of obedience being the key to success is something that pops up again and again throughout the Bible. Think about David and Goliath. You know, David didn't defeat Goliath because he was a superior fighter. but because of his unwavering faith in God.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And it's interesting. This passage talks about, you know, prospering, having good success.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who's, you know, heard of the prosperity gospel might perk up their ears here, right?
Yeah, for sure.
This idea that, you know, if you have faith, God's going to give you all this wealth and material blessings.
Right. And that's where Dr. Howard has some strong words.
He does.
He calls it a distortion of biblical teaching.
Okay.
And he uses lots of examples from scripture that really contradict that idea of guaranteed wealth for believers.
Like what?
Well, he points to places like Proverbs,
okay,
where it warns against chasing riches.
Okay.
And even talks about praying for just enough to get by.
Right, right.
Not for extravagance.
So it's about finding that contentment.
It is.
In God's provision.
It's about trusting that God will provide for your needs. Not necessarily shower you with material possessions. Dr. Howard argues that true prospering in the Old Testament is about succeeding in your endeavors.
Right.
Having strong relationships.
Okay.
And most importantly, aligning your life with God's will.
That makes me think about the Israelites entering the land.
Yeah.
You know, flowing with milk and honey.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just about the material abundance.
No.
It's about living that fruitful life.
It is. It's about having a life that's rich in purpose and meaning.
Right.
And connection with God.
Yeah.
Which is ultimately what brings true fulfillment.
Okay. Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground already, but we're just getting started with this deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
There's still so much to uncover in just this first chapter of Joshua.
Oh, I know. I mean, we haven't even touched on the story of Rahab and the crossing of the Jordan River.
Oh, yeah. Those are some real game changers.
Oh, yeah.
So stay tuned.
Stay with us.
We'll be right back after the break.
We'll be right back. Well, from a powerful sense of entitlement, trusting God's provision, let's talk about Rahab.
Rahab.
Dr. Howard really, you know, calls her a shining example of a true believer.
Okay.
Who was essentially a Canaanite convert. She wasn't exactly your typical Bible hero.
Oh, right? Definitely.
I mean, she was a prostitute living in Jericho.
Right.
The city that the Israelites were about to face.
Yeah. Not exactly someone you would expect to play a pivotal role.
Right.
In God's plan.
Exactly. But that's what makes her story so compelling.
It does, yeah.
It shows that God's grace can reach anyone.
Yeah.
Regardless of their past or their profession.
Right. And I think her story serves some really key purposes in the larger narrative.
Oh, absolutely.
Like what?
Well, one thing, it shows us that the Canaanites were already terrified of the Israelites.
Weird.
They'd heard all the stories about the miracles God had performed in the wilderness.
Okay.
Like parting the Red Sea, sending manna from heaven.
Right.
And they knew that something big was coming their way.
So it's like the Israelites had this reputation that preceded them.
Oh, yeah.
Even before they got there.
God was already working behind the scenes, softening up their enemies.
So, I mean, you think about it, right?
Yeah.
You hear those stories. You see this mass of people coming.
Yeah.
You'd be pretty freaked out.
I think I would.
Right. Yeah. So.
Yeah. It's a reminder that God is always in control.
Okay.
Even when it seems like chaos is reigning.
Yeah. Yeah.
But back to Rahab, you know, despite her past, she chose to believe in the God of Israel.
Yeah.
And she even risks her own life to help the Israelite spies escape Jericho.
She does. And that act of faith does not go unnoticed.
No.
Her and her family are spared when Jericho falls.
That's right.
Right.
It's a picture of redemption.
Yeah, it is.
Salvation.
It is.
Her story is really important because it foreshadows something that becomes really central to the New Testament message.
Okay.
The inclusion of the Gentiles into God's plan of redemption.
Jeez.
You know, it shows that God's love and grace extend beyond the boundaries of Israel.
Wow.
To encompass all who believe.
Okay, that's really amazing. Yeah, it is.
Rahab's story is so powerful.
It is.
But I have to admit, the part that just always blows my mind is the crossing of the Jordan River.
Oh.
In chapters 3 and 4.
Oh, I love that.
Dr. Howard talks about how this event really emphasizes God's presence and power.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, it's pretty dramatic.
It is.
You know, you got the Ark of the Covenant.
Right.
Which represents God's presence among his people leading the way.
Uh-oh.
And then you have this miraculous parting of the water.
Right.
Allowing the entire nation to walk across on dry ground.
I mean, come on. It's like straight out of a movie.
It is.
You know, I remember as a kid, I was trying to picture this, right?
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of people.
Oh, yeah.
Walking through this riverbed.
Right.
And these walls of water stacked up on either side.
I know. It's an incredible image.
Yeah. Talk about a visual.
Yeah.
It really drives home the point that God can make a way where there seems to be no way.
He does, and it's not just a random miracle either. It deliberately echoes a similar event from their past.
The Red Sea.
The Red Sea crossing, exactly.
It's like a sequel.
It's like a sequel, but even more epic.
But even bigger.
Yeah.
It's a deliberate parallel, right?
It is.
Reminding them of God's faithfulness.
Yes.
Delivering them from Egypt.
It's like God saying, remember what I did for you back then. Ugh. Well, I'm doing it again. I'm with you every step of the way.
But what I find really fascinating is that it's not just about the crossing itself.
Yeah.
Right. They actually set up these memorial stones as a reminder of what God had done.
Right. A whole chapter.
A whole chapter.
Chapter 4 is dedicated to commemorating the event.
So why was that so important, do you think?
Well, I think it was all about establishing a collective memory.
Okay.
A tangible reminder for future generations of God's faithfulness.
Oh, wow.
Think about it. Like, these stones would become a talking point.
Right.
A way to pass down their faith and their heritage.
I love that.
You know, like, hey, kids, see those stones over there? Let me tell you about the time when God parted the Jordan River for us.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's a powerful way to keep their history and their faith alive.
It is. It's like a physical representation.
It is.
Right.
It is.
Of their story so they could touch it.
Uh-huh.
They could see it.
Yeah.
They could remember it.
Exactly.
Wow. So after this incredible display of God's power,
yeah,
they're finally in the promised land, right?
They're there.
What happens next?
Well, before they dive headfirst into battle, we get chapter 5.
Okay.
Which Dr. Howard calls the holiness chapter.
The holiness chapter.
Yeah. It's all about getting right with God before they take on the Canaanites.
Interesting.
And we see them undergoing circumcision.
Okay.
And celebrating Passover, two rituals that were very important in their covenant relationship with God.
So it's like a spiritual reboot.
It is. It's a time to realign themselves with God.
Okay.
And reaffirm their commitment to him.
Okay. Yeah.
And Dr. Howard really emphasizes this point that true victory comes from being in right standing with God.
Yeah.
It's not just about physical strength or military strategy. It's about spiritual alignment.
So the physical act of conquering the land was actually secondary
to
the spiritual battle that they were fighting.
Yes. And it reminds us that the same applies to us.
Okay.
The battles that we face today might not involve swords and shields.
Yeah.
But the principle's the same.
It's true.
Our strength comes from our relationship with God.
Right.
And our willingness to obey him.
That's a good reminder. But I have to admit, the story of Jericho has always fascinated me.
Oh, yeah.
Just so epic.
It is. It's a great story.
Right. It's a captivating story.
It is. It's one of those stories that just grabs your attention.
It does.
You've got the Israelites marching around the city
right.
for days.
Yeah.
The priests blowing trumpets, walls collapse. It's a pretty wild scene.
Yeah. Beyond the spectacle, though,
yeah.
there's some really deep stuff going on there.
Oh, absolutely.
So Dr. Howard points out
yeah.
that God gives Joshua these really specific and, let's be honest, kind of strange instructions.
Yes, he does.
Right. March around the city once a day for 6 days.
Mm.
Then 7 times on the 7th day,
yeah.
the priests blow the trumpets.
Right.
The people shout.
And boom.
And the walls come tumbling down.
It's amazing.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I remember reading that as a kid.
Yeah.
And thinking, wait, that's it.
I know.
That's their battle plan.
Yeah.
It's so counterintuitive, you know?
It is.
No battering rams, no catapults.
Yeah.
Just walking and shouting.
That's exactly the point.
Right.
It's a deliberate demonstration of God's power.
Okay.
The victory wasn't about human strength or military strategy.
Right.
It was about obedience to God's commands.
Right.
Even when those commands seemed completely absurd.
Yeah. And it's a test of faith.
Yes, it is.
But it also raises some tough questions.
Yep, yeah.
I mean, the destruction of Jericho is pretty brutal, right? Yeah.
Everyone inside the city was killed.
Yeah.
So how do we reconcile that with the idea of a loving, merciful God?
It's definitely a challenging passage, and I think Dr. Howard acknowledges the complexity of it.
Yeah.
And he points out that the Canaanites were engaging in some pretty horrific practices
okay.
that were deeply offensive to God.
Right. But even still,
yeah.
does it seem like an extreme punishment?
Well,
especially, you know, for those who might have been innocent.
Yeah.
The children.
Right.
I kind of struggle with that part of it.
Well, I think it's important to acknowledge that tension.
Okay.
Wrestle with those difficult questions.
Yeah.
But we also have to remember that we're seeing things from a very limited human perspective.
Okay.
God's ways are higher than ours.
Right.
And we may not always fully understand his actions.
So what do we take away from a story like this?
Well, I think it's a reminder that God is ultimately just and righteous, even when his actions seem harsh to us. It also reinforces the idea that victory in the spiritual realm is not achieved through violence or aggression, but through obedience and trust in God's plan.
You know, as we've been talking about Joshua, I keep coming back to that idea of inheriting versus conquering.
Yeah.
It seems like the whole book is really about the Israelites learning to trust God.
Yeah.
To follow his commands.
Right.
And to allow him to lead them into their inheritance.
Yeah.
It's not about brute force.
Yeah.
It's about aligning their hearts, their actions with God's will.
Exactly.
That's really powerful, I think.
It is.
This has been such a thought-provoking deep dive.
It has.
I feel like I'm seeing the book of Joshua in like new ways now.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. And thanks to Dr. Howard's insights, you're helping unpacking them.
Well, thank you.
I'm walking away with a new understanding
of
what it means to inherit God's promises.
Me too.
And hey, listeners, you know, remember, this is just the beginning of Joshua's journey.
Yes.
And yours too.
Yes, it is.
There's so much more to discover and learn.
Oh, absolutely.
Keep exploring, keep questioning, keep seeking God's guidance in every area of your life.
And if true strength and success come from aligning with God's will, what laws or principles do you need to be most diligent in following to achieve your goals?
Keep exploring the book of Joshua and let us know what you discover.
Yeah.
Until next time, happy diving.